for the 5D Collective, we have some amazing times. Anyone who is new, a 5D person is a person who is at the very least aware of their emotional spectrum in a way of having a window of welcome. Or even if there is a window of tolerance, it is not one where you justify the emotional triggers. So the adaptive child behavior, the projection of unfinished business. So you know how to be aware of your own adaptive child and to tend to it. And so not to project your nervous system's needs on another, but to instead talk about it. And obviously that doesn't mean you don't have a reaction. No, it means you're aware of those adaptive child patterns. Okay, so 5D Collective is aware of enlightenment, the human way. They are aware of our mammalian heritage, our birthright to be a restorative embodied self and your open-hearted three-year-old self. Doesn't mean you're there yet, but you are very much in the I'm not going to be an ego-sensitive 4D person or 3D. I'm going to be a person who is going to take that journey of personal development. And the personal development can also integrate a therapist, of course. So those of you who are, again, aware of the aspects of our human nature, that's why the 5D is having a different way of harnessing everything that comes with all of these new ascension energies. And they're not new. We've been having ascension energies for a long time already, but they're not taking them and saying there are energy vampires, dark auras, and so on and so forth. The 4D collective and 3D, on the other hand, are not interested in emotional building regulation skills, in emotional heavy lifting. They are not keen on personal development in a way of let me tend to what comes up. They project it. In fact, what I've noticed is a spirituality bypass, and so the codependency type person, martyrs or superiors, spirituality again, bypassers, and the blamers. So the shame cycle is what you will notice they will be actively participating in, but their behavior is something they don't look at, like a Cusco not looking at himself. So from the Emperor's New Groove, the 5D Collective are Pachas, and the rest is Cuscos, and this is not a competition. You can't go to somebody and say, hey, I think you need to go to therapy. That's pretty much not your job or nice or, you know, again. So 5D Collective knows that every person's journey, their way back home to their heart, to be their self. We didn't need to do Frozen 2. We got to understand we're humans first, and we do bring with us the spiritual and spirituality stuff, but we're a whole three-year-old heart. So we choose to be our humanity. And that's why it's easy for the person who's a 5D collective individual to say, yeah, I want to learn how to do my emotions like a grown-up. It's fun. Functional adults, conscious lovers, it's fun. 3D, 4D has a different mindset. They have a different approach. And that's where the good therapists are out there. There's a lot of education. So everyone has access to YouTube and online. Well, not everybody, but you understand what I'm saying. So in the meantime, for us, ascension energies allow the human love narrative and your consciousness to expand. We bring more Pachas out into the world for specific guidance on personal development, inner growth, all this great stuff we talk about. You can become a paid subscriber for anything curiosity related. You can just send emails and ask away. We have FAQs. I look forward to hearing from you all. Let's continue with our episode. Welcome, welcome, welcome to my lovely IHP community and the 5D Collective. And to all of you who are new, let us begin with a lovely self-empowered, educated woman. Self-empowered is when you have your inner child in the forefront. Educated means that you learn. I learn all about attachment trauma information because I've been made available courses throughout my last years of life, and it's great, and I'm still learning, and I'm still adding to my certificates and all that great stuff. But remember, I'm a 5D mystic in the Enlightenment Soul Age group, so aka woo-woo, pseudoscience lady. I bring human, spiritual, and spirituality elements together, and I do know love and humanity's infinite potential from my subjective human being experience. But my attachment and trauma courses have informed me of just how badass I've always been. So the Confessions of a Badass, it's all about Maria, of course. And we will probably keep these episodes because what I noticed is we have confessions of people who are maladaptive child behavior, dysfunctional and dysregulated versions of unhealed trauma. So people who know enough about some therapy, but then they, I don't want to do personal development or therapy, really? I'm not going to do it because I've been doing a great job already. And then I was told that I need to journal and meditate. Yeah, that's pretty boring. Or, no, humans are evil. There's demons coming out of bodies of people that do yoga, Maria. Don't you know that? No, wait. We're special. Don't you know, Maria? We feel more special than any other person because we're anointed. No, we have magical powers. Really? Okay, that's interesting. Okay, so a badass teenager I was already. I learned what confidence and empowerment does. I didn't tell you the truth because I was afraid you wouldn't accept what? I follow Jesus. So this is when my bestest friend, I went to face her and say, why did you lie to me about you kissing my boyfriend? So you and him cheated on me and you also cheated on your boyfriend. And then you made up a lie and threw another girl that is my friend and your friend under the bus and we gossiped. I learned how I won't ever do that again because, you know, people that I care about actually make up lies and then they have me doing gossip and basically doing a shitty thing, which is where I said, you know, well, in general, I like to talk. I like to share about life, but I don't feel better or less better. Knowing healthy self-worth is badass, and that is what I know. I know how Maria is one of a kind, and I learned as a teenager how confidence works with low self-esteem teenagers. Yeah, and I learned that in my brain, I'm like, really? Aren't you going to emotionally mature? Oh, wait, you're a teenager. The grown-ups told me that's normal for teenagers to have low self-esteem, so I'm going to leave you alone. And then as I got older, I just got busy, and so I learned how badass is not a man or a woman or they who has envy, jealousy, spite, revenge, who has an inner critic or outer critic, who has the shame, blame, fault, or the idea that their sympathetic nervous system, so that their attachment wound, so living with the defectiveness and heartbreak. Okay, so essentially I'm trying to break down how badass is not when you are a human being who has yet to tap into any of your nervous system as a securely attached and or differentiated self. So there's a lot of attachment trauma information that I know that can help me to help you understand things, but I'm not here for that. I'm here to do confessions right now. So a badass, self-empowered, educated woman, what we know about love is that it doesn't turn off. Because my whole 0-1-year-old stays online and my whole 3-7 shame submissive stays online and my 11-12 flight stays online and my fight 14-15-16 stays online and my freeze. So the charges, my child parts, they stay with me because I'm a whole self. Me, Maria, your host here. I can be woo because those who don't experience mysticism, they don't believe in it. But what I'm not is a person who, for example, thank you, Patrick Tiahan, has talking in the head that would be of, let me talk shit about another person or myself. So here's where Patrick Tiahan, he's a childhood trauma survivor, he's healed, and I always say healing, and he's a therapist. And he has a community to heal from your inner child's wounds, so to be reparenting yourself, and then to grow up emotionally. So that means to be emotionally lifting, you know, not a cowardice. As he points out, the emotionally coward people, they don't work on their unhealed trauma. They do the hurt people, or the let me bleed all over. So they stay in the low self-esteem, indirect communication, passive-aggressive. They also use identities and words to identify and label themselves. So, oh, I'm an attachment avoidant. Because everybody's crapping on attachment avoidance, I'm going to make us look pretty now. You know what? I'm an attachment anxious. Because everybody's crapping on attachment anxious, I'm going to make us look pretty. So, you know, you get people who don't know that attachment wounds means you have not tapped into your infinite higher human potential yet, and that your brain, well, it's not your left mode, that is you with the blade of your left mode. So you're not choosing how to conceptualize things until you actually can create a different story. Let me, Patrick, thank you. Patrick Tihan, shout out to my fellow survivors who get triggered to the fight response and then get freaked out by their own inner dialogue. So he's sharing what it's like to have talking heads. And here's where I have heard of people who go into their squirrel attitude, so they begin to spit venom out of their mouth because their twin flame left them or a soulmate. And they will then share how their actual inner dialogue is completely correct. Their anger circuit, their certainty, everything that is, I know it. He is this and this and that. And, you know, the words that they will use, or she, you know what she is? She's an evil bitch. She's an evil witch. Oh, I bet she put some spell. Hey, you know what? There's a spell out there, magical incantation. So their 4D go all over that one. Okay, inner dialogue. Your inner dialogue, if you don't know how to wield the mouth that is your thoughts, that means you don't have the ownership of your human being brain yet. And what I also notice that those who don't want to take Patrick Tihan's content seriously, and as he shares, you cannot magically or with energy stuff get your inner child healed, because it's you needing to reparent yourself. Understanding what reparenting is means it's a process that you work through every time your thoughts come online with those emotions, because attachment wounds and trauma means that it is going to be with a subjective experience, a physiological response and a behavioral response, sensations, images, meaning, affects, behavior. You would need to be a member of a herd like Ice Age, Sid, Manny, and Diego, where you have compassion and love, and therefore your inner dialogue, you don't keep it in your head. So let's say you and I are friends, and you're a person who is going to have thoughts about the level of confidence of another human being. And you notice, though, that the way that you're addressing it seems to be a lot of this. So the fight response is when you're in a charged state, and adaptive children, they're teenagers who think they know everything, and they're reacting, not responding. So the reacting, you would notice, because it's an automatic behavior. And when a securely attached, self-empowered, educated woman meets those who do not have securely attached, they may be educated like my BFF, but what I'm trying to say, no healthy self-worth, they don't maintain their heart body, valley body. So when I went to my BFF and looked her in the eyes and said, so I know you're the one who was cheating on or whatever with my boyfriend. Why did you lie to me? And why did you decide to throw under the bus one of our friends? Do you realize what you did? And I looked her in the eyes, and I don't remember all of our dialogue. I just remember saying, you know, I follow Jesus, or something along those lines. I don't remember the exact words, but I know that she knew I'm not about not forgiving people. So I didn't understand why she lied. Like, I didn't understand why other kids lied. And once I figured out they all had the same answers, it's like, okay, well, they all are teenagers after all. So they're not confident yet. Okay, the inner dialogue, a person will be freaked out. But what I've heard as I've gotten older is how women will have talked to me about their thoughts of men that dumped them. With men, well, I have a very different relationship with men. What I can tell you is that one of my friends got really, really spiteful in a conversation we were having when they were going through some shit, and they did not actually say anything when I presented it to them the next time we talked. They just said, yeah, I know, I was in a really bad mood. So this friend, for example, was being used, but he kept on falling for what was happening to him. And every time him and I would talk, he was chasing some woman that I was like, I think they're out for the money. And I'm not trying to be mean about these women, but it sounds like this is a scam. And by the time, you know, we're talking in this other conversation where they get very mean, quote unquote, it's because they told me that something that was beautiful that had happened to me would not last, which they were not actually wrong about it. This is why I call them back. See, the difference between a person who has badass in their bones is that I'm not afraid of admitting if I'm wrong, because why would I be afraid? I'm not trying to be right. I'm just having a conversation, really. But if I am presented with the opportunity to, you know, talk. So what I'm saying is, in the case of my friend, see, I'm a person of honor, quote unquote. I mean, the word doesn't mean much to people that don't know healthy self-worth. They're not badass. I am a person who is very much of the knowingness of being able to have a clarity of consciousness. I don't know how else to explain it, but with my friend, because I'm using this story right now, and how old was I? It was in the recent years, but I forget the year, the exact year, but this friend of mine, I care for him a lot. We've known each other since we were kids, and the thing is, we made a bet. And I am a person that wants to keep my bets, even though I will have not always been able to, you know, like pay back money. There are things that I've not been able to do because of when I was a college student, you know, you're limited with funds. And then you don't get to pay back people that supported you. But then again, the people who are happy that they were able to support you, they usually will forgive that debt, right? But societally speaking, what I'm saying is, with my friend, we made a bet. The bet is something I can pay back. And so I contemplated calling them back because I said, you know, we did make a bet. And I actually was pretty convinced that I would win that bet. And it's more of I didn't win it. And I do want my friend to know. So some would say that's really silly. Again, it is, right? But anyways, long story short, I did make the call. And I said, no, I wanted to tell you, you won the bet. But I also want to tell you, I wasn't planning on calling you back because you're really mean. I mean, you're a friend of mine. You're supposed to want me to be happy. You instead wished that I would not be. And you did say a lot of other things in a very moment of my joy versus being right here, compersion. So that's spite. I didn't take it personally because my friend was upset after being used by women. However, I had shared with him throughout all of the years, and I still do, he doesn't hear me. Like people who have attachment wounds and maladaptive child behavior and that are in trauma bonded relationships, for example. Okay, so there's a bunch of people that I know that I talk all the time, and they consistently motivate their own dysfunctional patterns. So they stay adaptive children and they flaunt their inner dialogue when they're in the squirrel attitude of Cusco land or Cusco. So Elsa's journey is why. Whenever I see trendsetters, I know what they're doing. And teenagers, oh, let me go and be the beauty queen today. Our group has to be the more pretty. Oh, let's go over here. So long story short, badass for a securely attached person is not dysfunction. No. And we won't be a people that will make a big deal out of it either. But we will be honest, because I want to be an honest person to the people that I choose to grow my relationships with. So that's number one. And knowing that love means you be you and I be me, it's easy because my inner child isn't competing with you. I'm Maria. That's my name. I have a twin. So my whole three-year-old heart ain't trying to get your approval, nor is my 0-1-year-old. I have one secure attachment figure, and I'm independent from that human being as well. And her name is Mom. And that's because I'm a differentiated three-year-old self, which is why she will know when I'm stubborn and working on my three-year-old with her and my twin. That's is the beauty. Our actual first 3 years of life are implicit memory. Then we get explicit after the 3 years of age. When you can have fun with people, it's because new challenging situations are possibilities, not problems, for those of us who know how to regulate our nervous system and we know how to use our brain. So we know how to do inner dialogue, and we don't shy away from patient because we're not afraid. Like with my BFF, I wasn't afraid of her. I wasn't afraid of my teenage boyfriend. I wasn't afraid of anyone. In fact, apparently all the teenagers wanted to beat me up, and I was being protected by my twin. And that's because I did know who I would go to. I didn't care if they call me tattertale, suck up, whatever. You call me all the names you want. I know I'm going places. You keep being assholes, quote unquote, stupid. I'm going to keep doing me. So this is what a smart human being is. Not about being a genius. No, it's life is one. I got 24 hours. I ain't going to waste it with anyone who doesn't know how to tell me the truth in my face, whether it's revenge, envy, spite, whatever, jealousy, all of it. It's a petty energy. Did nobody know or learn about that pettiness? No, they didn't look at themselves and say, why am I feeling this way? But let me give the people a break, because we didn't have explanation. I know I didn't. I had, though, a choice. Jesus. He came into my life. Thank goodness my mother raised me. I'm very, very happy to be a Catholic Christian. I'm sad to see the institution, but I have, me personally, a great relationship. I got taught, hey, I made you the way I want you to be made. Be humble. You're not me, God. Thank you. And my son, he comes here, and it's not because of fear of hell, by the way. No. The whole part about what regurgitation of material people do, that's 3D. They're only left-brainers, and they don't know that yoga does not bring demons out of you. Mystics are not demons. There are no demonic spirits that possess people. Neuroscientists show this through the machines that share with us what happens in the brain when a person is having nightmares. And I am a mystic. So again, I know about the plane of this lovely Akash. I do Akashic record readings, tarot card readings. I know of my twin flames. I know of my soulmates. I know of my past lives. And so what healthy self-worth looks like is that we do not say, I have no tolerance for dysfunction. We say, I know dysfunction when I see it. It comes from an adaptive child who has unhealed trauma that is projecting out into the world their maladaptive child behavior. And that is their, at the very least, teenager attitude with a brokenhearted three-year-old. And they're going to belong to some group that says, oh, look, we're the avoidance. We're all going to not want to be securely attached. Oh, we're the anxious. Let's go and be. So anytime I see any of this on YouTube, I'm like, what the hell? Did nobody teach you what your mammalian heritage and a healed inner child looks like and feels like? You're not being you yet. You're not even halfway there. And you're not badass by creating a little group that talks about your attachment category as if it's fixed in stone because you didn't learn that it's not. Oh, I'm sorry, you don't believe in it. So the thing is, people don't know that the mindfulness and meditation practices in yoga support ventral vagal nervous system toning and the pillars of the mind, the three pillars of the mind, which involve, if I remember them correctly, focused attention, awareness, or awareness and focused attention, and then it's kind intention. The reason for kind intention is that without compassion towards yourself, without knowing that you inside are deserving of kindness, your body will not move out of survival mode. This is what people don't understand, the math of it. And when they hear it, then no. They refuse and refute information that is feeling-based because that is the whole beginning of their reactivity. And they don't even notice. I don't like this. This is why I'm saying no. If you were in any way, shape, or form self-aware enough, you'd say, shut up, left mode. Shut up, body. I don't like it. I don't give a shit if I like or don't like. Somebody else is speaking. Let me share the floor. Let me be curious, open, accepting, and loving, and here's present. Let me be present right now. Let me open my grown-up ears, and like Carl Rogers in one of my books that I have somewhere, he says, to be becoming a person, this is a book of Carl Rogers. He's a therapist, or he was. I think he's dead now, but he talks about when people are not listening. So what you learn from Stephen Porges is that adaptive children, which are maladaptive child behavior, it's people who are already reacting. They're in their yellow and red. They're 0-1-year-old, 3-year-old, 16-year-olds saying, I'm going to make it all about me. So it's unbridled self-expression. And I'm going to list to you all the ways that I'm right and you're wrong. And then when I'm done, I'm going to try and have you take my side. And if you don't, then you're going to become my enemy. And this is where we have our lovely, this is Terry Real. So they don't come in. An adoptive child does not come in to actually create a conversation. They come in to prove that they're right. And that's all they're trying to do. And once they're done and you didn't take their side, they are going to actually give you what is that silent treatment, which, by the way, a grown-up person doesn't really give a shit about a silent treatment. Badass human being, yeah, you can keep on being silent. I'm going to learn what that silence is all about. And what I get to learn is, I was gifted the gift of, if you can't say something nice, say nothing. Take a bit of good advice. Okay, so badass is actually not using our time with people who are not open ears. And that's any person who's not emotionally available to themselves. So adaptive children, they try to prove they're right. Situation, they do unbridled self-expression. Let me tell you how miserable I am or how everything I want to say is right. Retaliation, I will hurt you because once you don't take my side. Number four step to trauma recovery. So when they are bringing their adaptive child to you, they want you to take their side. When you don't, you went from being my BFF to being my worst enemy. And now I'm going to create some inner dialogue that's going to say, ah, she's a bitch. She's this, this, this. And that's projection and structural dissociation. And now I'm going to withdraw, give you the silent treatment. And then in my head, I'm going to think all the things I want about you. And there you go. That's cowardice right there. Let me hurt you like you hurt me. Nobody hurt anyone. But the adaptive child, they are living in a brain full of gossip. And what I've noticed is I am going to create a channel that talks about the avoidant attachment so that I can tell you all about how to stay in this not empowered version of ourselves. And this is because though we got attachment coaches who are saying, well, you know, securely attached people are boring to the avoidant attachment man and woman and they, or the anxious attachment avoidant man, woman and they. This, and that is when you know you got a bunch of teenagers, when they're using all these words without moving into expanding conversations. And you know what happens when you meet more of the Elsa journey people? I'm anointed. I'm special. I feel deeper than anyone else. I'm a spirituality guru, a witness. They're all the anointed ones that I need to be like, okay, you know we're all special, right? Yeah, but we're more special. We feel deeply. Yes, I know we do. I mean, I know. I have clairs. I get it. But you make it sound like we're in a competition of sorts. All people provide and support, even in the absence of all the attachment and trauma information. Thank you, Jesus and God. I already knew we're brothers and sisters, so we equally participate in life and share something. However, here's where my divine feminine, right here, that's my divine feminine, and then I have a divine masculine. And thanks to having an actual badass, self-empowered, educated man who is a divine masculine, that's not always how it works, but in this case, mine is, and all of my divine masculines are men, because I'm a divine feminine woman, and there are no categories, but FYI, just breaking it down. Okay, so what I can say is when a divine feminine, and we each also have our divine masculine, our own part. I'm going to tell you my breakdown is the divine feminine is your body and the divine masculine is your mind. And then remember, the left mode of your brain is the masculine. It's the one that dissects and it's digital and it breaks things down in right and wrong. And it wants to organize. So this is when you're reading material, you're assimilating it and understanding it and organizing it through that left. The right is an analogical and it sits with disparate ideas and it sits with things that say like spirituality and sciences, same thing. The right allows that to stay because it deals with unknowns, uncertainties and unwanteds. And that's actually where Patrick McNamara, the neuroscientist that also proves there's no demon that possesses people and the demonic possession thing. Yeah. So he shares that he's found that the self is allocated in the right mode of our brain. And I believe that's where some of our executive decision-making functions or higher social engagement is. That's the way he explains it. So neuroscience, neurobiology, mental health, good professionals that you learn from is why I know how to talk about what I'm talking. But essentially, I can allocate everything while knowing that there are people who are skeptics, for example, of spirituality and mystics, of course, it's fair and square. But what I'm saying is there's skeptics and they're saying, I'm going to prove to you through their books and what they do that there is no afterlife. Or we have the opposite, the spiritual bypassers. I'm going to prove to you that the neuroscientists are getting it wrong because they're not following spirituality that says there is no self and that we're one big ball of energy. Okay, so this and that are true. I'm in the Enlightenment Soul Age Group, and I'm in the infinite higher human conscious potential experience. So what I bring to you is not proof of anything. Human, spiritual, and spirituality, and I can share, they, on both ends of the spectrum, are trying to prove the opposite. Here's our duality. The people who are empowered with their brains will know what qualitative and quantitative data and conversations are. And so we will understand that the people who have the quantitative data are the ones that we will listen to if we're trying to work on something that actually brings forth something more into the world. When it comes to qualitative data, you name it, I'm qualitative too. Okay, subjective experience is what I'm trying to say. So you will not be evaluating something that is qualitative If you're an emotionally, mentally, and physically badass, true human being person, no matter how old you are, it means you're thorough with anything and everything, like my badass man friend. And that's because they are aware of themselves and they know how to put their implicit bias, political bias, religious, whatever bias, emotional shit, whatever it is, we all have the shit, but they know how to say, you know what, even if I don't like something, doesn't mean that I don't have the capacity to be patient and to then read through it and then to get just, I don't have to use my impatient energy. I can try to work with it. And that's working, for example, with a window of tolerance of your three-year-old. I'm feeling bored by it, but I think there's something there. Or maybe I don't like hearing this person. They don't speak the same way I do, but I think something's there. I'm going to wait. Learning patience is a virtue. And for those of us who are enjoying being a three-year-old, that's the badass woman right here. Whenever I'm with anyone, I enjoy myself. But what I was trying to get to is my divine masculine friend. He is intellectually, emotionally, and physically consistently empowering our relationship always. So he provides and shares consistent value, not just sometimes, again and again and again. And so by being around a consistently valuable, healthy self-worth, emotionally available, mentally available, mature, actual badass human being, I'm like, you know what? I mean, I already knew about the other men not being emotionally anything, because the minute you're not available to your inner child, I don't want to be mean to anyone, but you don't have what it takes to get out of your inner dialogue, because you don't even have what it takes to tell me to my face shit. You have passive aggressiveness, indirect communication, and the silent treatment. Oh yeah, we don't talk about any of what I hear the teenagers do. They gaslit me. They breadcrumbed me. Oh, they're my fake twin flame. Oh, they're my new twin flame. Oh, they're... So all of this chit chatter, whenever I'm hearing any woman, by the way, because most of these are women, the men, they just get... I don't even want to talk about the men, because honestly, I already am full of my cojones, as you can say, as a teenager, and then a young woman, and then a woman. I don't really have anything. You know, I don't want to. I don't want to speak about what I know needs good therapy, because it is disappointing, but it's also because you want me to call you smart, and I don't see you using your brain, and I'm not overestimating anything, because I'm not a genius. What I'm seeing is you consistently tell me you're smart in my face, and I want to laugh in your face, but I'm 4'9", which means you could punch me, which means, by the way, you would. Potentially, because that's what I know a brokenhearted three-year-old with a teenage attitude is going to potentially do. Like my spiteful friend, when he was so upset that he literally went and did something so not nice. The reason I didn't care is because I'm not sensitive when I hear bullshit. I learned all about teenage bullshit and I found it petty. Like, I can't even begin to explain how small that energy is. And when I was my 11 until my pretty much 19, I learned everything I needed to learn about emotionally unavailable, immature, low self-esteem human beings. You bring me a woman or a man that is in that energy, I'm not going to engage with them. I'm going to be there to be polite, because my mother taught me how to share the floor and to be polite and to be a decent. It's called being a decent human being. And I'm not even, it's more like, okay, you know, I'm here. I share the whole earth with 8 billion people. That's about it. That's it. I don't actually feel any person is in my brain and in my entirety like the flat earthers. I have no issue with people at all. I feel bad for human suffering love narrative groups. I feel bad for teenagers that are grown-ups because they don't know half of what their potential could be and they don't want to. They're not motivated to continue therapy. They find it boring. And then again, they also get bad therapists because, you know, seeing a therapist act like a teenager, you know, so whenever I see a person who has to comment, and that's why, because I'm a human too. I was a teenager, young adult. I remember when I wanted to really get something out of my mouth because it was really important to me. I remember also when people will have treated me as if what I shared means nothing to them. Yes, I remember when I've presented, this is really upsetting, and I got completely nothing. And unlike when a person doesn't have their badass attitude, I had a badass attitude. I know how to be my own safe haven. again, as a teenager, I saw everything I needed to see. So once I got to deal with adults, I wasn't really looking at adults in any different way. I just learned from attachment trauma information people why adults are still their teenager version. And now I'm like, okay, now I get it. So when I'm meeting women who are catty, I wish nothing, because it's perfection. It's perfection that I'm 4'9" and that I am just going to be like, okay, remember, they need a good therapist. It's nothing else except for they need good therapy. Just smile and nod, because you know what I know about the people who don't have access to their inner child? They don't have access to their higher social engagement system. The right mode of their brain and their heart, they don't have access. They're actually living out their first years of life with me, which is their unfinished business from home, and I have nothing to do with it. And in the meantime, you know, I'm just thinking, wow, you could really be doing better in life, but you want to crap on men and women and days and politics and society and this and this and this. And I'm thinking, why won't you, you know, work with your energy right now? Because your energy is just in this dysregulated, dysfunctional nervous system. You're in a fight response. You're in the active fight response. You're doing outer critic right now. As you're speaking, your nervous system is in sympathetic. What am I doing? Well, I have the opportunity. Oh, yeah, that's right. I get to try and... No, not try. I'm actively saying, hey, Maria, you're not in there. Nervous system. Differentiate. Thanks, Daniel. Daniel Siegel, he reminds me. I think you need to differentiate more. So that's what I get to put into practice when I'm with teenagers. I get to try to remind myself of it. It's not always easy. I have caught myself being in sympathetic, and it's not a test. I'm badass attitude to be more and more in my spin around dysfunctional adaptive children who are maladaptive and therefore liars, pants on fires in their modulated embodied self. When that's happening, like I said, it takes me sometimes a minute or two. I'm getting better at it, and I get to do physical mastery of this beautiful enlightenment plane, which is really the restorative embodiment of our own human being body. Okay, so back to storytelling. When you are healthy self-worth, you're able to recognize that every person can choose to have that motivation to get out of the dysfunctional pattern of their inner dialogue, their outer dialogue, and their fight response. If they choose to recognize, why am I getting all worked up? I'm in a conversation. But because this is something so small and they go watch movies that perpetuate this adaptive child behavior, projection. So, oh, look, that bitch, she looked at me weird. I don't like her. Okay, I'm just saying. So we have a bunch of teenagers out there, maladaptive and modulated embodied selves. They think that that is the way to be a badass. And they think that, and then they use words and pathologize themselves instead of understanding their behavior and then saying, oh, I do need personal development. I'm going to do the inner growth mindset. I know mindset is everything. I will work with my trauma body stuff. I want to do this. So here's the deal. The trauma charges with attachment wounds, heartbreak, gut wrench, defectiveness. However, it's something that the updated, it's 2024, the year of this recording. We have all the information. I've learned all of it in the past 2 years. So how I'm going to break it down is in this way, is that therapists, they will negotiate with their clients and they will say something along the lines of this. I forget the woman's name, but she's the one who sticks out. She says, right now, in your body, there is hell. We are going to walk out of hell. But to get out of hell, I need you to understand we're going to walk up a ladder. This ladder is going to burn. Your hands are going to burn. Your feet are going to burn. You are going to be so exhausted and tired again and again, again and again. But when you get out of here, I guarantee you, you will feel so much better. I love the good therapists, because they know that every one of the human beings who can move into their healed inner child will be able to. And they will not give up on allowing them to know about integration. They will also not push them to be integrated. They will explain to them. Any human being who wants to consider themselves, in my book, an empowering educator is one who explains two things. And you can roll your eyes at me. I will not give two shits of your rolling of your eyes. I will tell you everything that I will be able to empower you with, and then you can go off and continue your dysfunctional, maladaptive child behavior. But I will at least try to have given you the opportunity to be empowered with education information. I am the mystic woo-woo pseudoscience lady out of respect for all of the people who have done years and years and continue to do research. My mission has always been inspiring human potential, you to be yourself. The inner growth mindset, I built it with a basic foundation of psychology, sociology, and existentialism based on what I learned and then based on what I can experience. And so it's very straightforward. We have the Ask Maria subscription-based model content. We're treating it like an opinionated columnist podcast episodes. And once we get to 1K on YouTube, we're going to have the same option there. I still have those main modules for free for the inner growth mindset courses. And the beginners is online on Udemy, and I need to get the other two online, but that's, you know, in the whenever that happens. In the meantime, right now what is happening is that I get to work with those who want to come on over and build their own 5D life and the 5D relationships and to actually have true badass people. When you're with people who are emotionally and intellectually stimulating, like my man friend, it's amazing because you are adding value to each other's lives. So here's where, as a person who's always been selective because of having a good gut, and so that means that I will not be involved in a person and their drama. I will not, because it is not something that I jive with at all. As a teenager, I was very much square. I'm still square, but now I'm a grown-up. And what grown-up means is that my brain has been developed completely. It's gotten to become flexible, adaptive, coherent, energized, stable, but I'm busy. I'm a human being who has a life. So as a teenager, I didn't tell people you're in or you're out. I did it. Meaning, if I don't like you, you're out. I didn't even tell you. Why am I going to tell you you're out? That's kind of not nice. If you're in, you're in. And I won't think twice if you do something that upsets me to tell you to your face. Like if you tell me that I upset you, I will think about what you told me. And then I will know if I can work with you or not. This is not a negotiation. I actually will not negotiate being myself with you. I am myself. If you don't like it, I'm going to be like, okay, well, peace out. Here's what a badass woman does when one of her girlfriends says, I don't want you to be friends with her because she is dating the guy that I am dating and I don't want you to be friends with her. That's not going to happen. And you're both his lovers. You're not even polyamory and he's using both of you. No, people don't tell me who to be friends with. And that's it. And if you consider it disrespectful, well, I guess we're going to have to agree to disagree. The individuals who have come to me throughout my years, you never call me. I didn't know we were keeping a scale. What is this? Is this a prison? I have to call you? Is this where you're, that's not how I rule my friendships. I'm so sorry. You must be mistaken with somebody else. No, but you're being selfish. Well, I mean, you can call it what you want. Just letting you know, this isn't how I rule my relationships. When you have a inner child that has no shame and no fear of speaking up. Apparently, all my teenage friends wanted to beat me, but they all knew that I would go rat them out. And I don't have a shame of ratting out anyone. You touch me with one finger, I'm going to go rat you out immediately as a kid. I am not going to put up with your teenager bullshit. I also knew how not to cast stones. And actually, I found out that I was casting them and I felt shame. That's the one moment of... Then I felt embarrassed, ashamed when I fell for a scam. That's when I was like, you're really stupid. As a teenager, I knew that I had committed stupid decisions, but I knew that I consciously chose it as a teenager because I was being a teenager. So I was like, you know, you're being a teenager. Now that you've learned. So when women are actual badasses, we have compersion for our girlfriends and our guy friends. That's for anyone. Like my friend, the one who wished, basically who made a bet that I was not angry at them. I was, made me sad. because that means I know that my friend doesn't want me to be happy, which is what I told him. I said, you're still my friend to me, but the fact that you wished something like that, I think you didn't really think of it, did you? And people don't really seem to understand that what comes up is from their own home, you know, so it's not even a big deal. It's sad, but it's a small, very small sadness, if you will. When I think of true problems, I think of starving children, I think of wars, I think of having people who call themselves politicians, but they're not flexible, adaptive, coherent, energized, or stable brains. And I'm not demanding that they be perfect. No, I'm demanding that they be emotionally mature, which is something that they are capable of. And if they want to use the word smart, you know, to me, this is the part. If you don't have emotional intelligence, you ain't smart. Don't use it. You might have gotten your job however you got it. Great for you. But you're not smart yet because you can't own your brain. So I'm not going to say I overestimate the capacity of humanity to use your brain. I'm going to say, do you think you're smart? Here's a challenge for you. Go and deal with your trauma. Then come back to me and let me know how smart you are. The idolization, quote unquote, of the scale of evil, Michael Stone, 1 to 22. When you watch movies that are not badass. When I hear people who talk about humanity and they think that a triune brain or that psychopaths in the way that they talk, because see, they don't even know about destigmatizing the psychopath, the sociopath, the individuals who think they're badass when they're in their inner dialogue or outer dialogue as teenagers. So they're crapping on all things human, okay? I'm laughing not because it's funny. It's because they actually think they have a point. They have no fucking point. They don't even know that there's no, you know, again, demon possessing no person. It's a fear receptor in their brain that goes wonky. There's enough information with the neuroscientists, neurobiologists, all the human scientist people. That's why I'm speaking up. I'm a spirituality person, but I love that I know sciences gives a way out of hell. The day I found out that I was not needed, quote unquote, as a human being, at first I was like, oh, I'm not doing anything special. And they're like, well, wait a minute. I actually have a great thing. We all can be decent human beings. Isn't it? This is so great. Everybody can access their 0-1 year old. Wait a minute. They have to want to get out of their dysfunctional nervous system and their attachment coaches who talk about secure attachment as boring. So how are we going to work with that one? Oh, we're going to work with it with letting people know it's not boring to be a passionate human being. You know what I know about men that are not emotionally available? They cannot keep up with me. Oh, it's not because I'm a badass smart woman. No, it's because they actually cannot keep up with my energy because they will be triggered again and again to look themselves in the mirror. I felt very sad when I found out what a securely attached, healthy, self-worth human being does to people who have adaptive child stuff. I got really sad because I understood what my unconditional love does to people. That's what happened when I found out how Pacha. So when you meet kindness, guess what? An inner child that didn't ever meet it, their inner dialogue is going to be, she's a bitch. I already knew that as a teenager, though, which is why I was already prepared for shit like this. But I got really sad when I found out the information. And when I see attachment avoidant people and attachment coaches telling people, oh, it's boring to be securely attached, I'm going to just stay defective. It's like, no. We're going to talk about this like a human. I'm a decent human. That's all this is a decent human who's explaining things. Do I need to break it down to you like a five-year-old? How many different five-year-old versions do you want? Oh, I can do it. I'm a three-year-old. Don't you remember? Oh, and I love being a human. And I don't like to take sides because I know the land of wisdom. It's equanimity. I don't take a side. You're imperfect, so am I. I'm stupid, so are you. What do you want? Are we smart? We all can be smart together, or we can be dumb. Which one of the this and that's? You know what? I love even more about being this, my friend. One of my friends, when we talked about hypocrisy, he said, Maria, I think you're a hypocrite. And I said, what? Really? How come? I don't know. That's not true. And then I was like, shut up, Maria. It's only fair that he shares his opinion. You just called him a hypocrite. Yeah, of course you don't like that he's calling you a hypocrite. Let's hear what he has to say. And my friend said, because you don't stick to one side. You say this and that, and you're all over the place. I was like, you're right. That is true. But I'm not a hypocrite because I walk a straight line, but I get what you're saying. So I understood my friend's perspective. And his perspective he equates hypocrisy to a person who can say the sky is yellow, blue, and red all together, and that is why I love Daniel Siegel. He explains to me why I can do it, my right mode of the brain. I let red, yellow, blue, all of them sit together, which is why I sound stupid to somebody who will be a digital thinker, but if they wait enough time, then they'll hear what I have to say as a whole. So the left mode directed is a digital. So they like things organized, which is why they're like, no, no, you cannot say that spirituality and sciences are the same. I just did say it and I meant it. I know I have an explanation for it. I'm not asking for your approval, three-year-old. I don't need your approval because you're not me. I'm a differentiated self. I'm a me. My name's Maria. And that's what I think and feel. And I'm okay if you call it stupid. Can we move forward from this point? So you think of the sky as blue, and I think of it as a rainbow. Are we okay with continuing our conversation? When you meet healthy, self-worth, actual badass men and women, you'll be like, yep, we can keep going because we cleared up whatever this was, meaning we understood that we are coming across the conversation in a whole different way. Okay, so on that note, what a badass woman knows to share with you all, when a person cannot walk a straight line, my friend, I called him a hypocrite because he doesn't ever keep his word. And there's more than just my friend. My friend, he's the same one I did not talk to for five years. And he taught me, again, that people will be afraid to be their self. And therefore, they will lie to you in your face and behind your back. And then they will talk about you. So I learned that grown-ups don't become grown-ups. Now I know about maladaptive child behavior. Oh, so I personally have many people that will be in drama land. I don't take their side, and they have learned not to expect me to, because I'm like, look, I don't take sides. I don't know what to tell you. I mean, can we move forward? We don't have to be friends, you know. I mean, friendship is supposed to be where we enjoy each other. So are relationships. So there you go. It's non-negotiable, which is where some people in the years of my life, as I moved into my polyamory status, they have shared that they believe a lot of things about why I'm here today as a 44-year-old woman, and one of these was that I don't compromise. And I said, yes, I'm a badass woman, self-empowered, educated, and I love more than anything in the world. And if you can't be yourself, well, you don't know how to love. And, you know, coming in and out of my life, yeah, that's gonna be not anything. The first time I'll think it's true, and then I'll be like, wait a minute, it's not. It's just, you know, smoke and mirrors. Okay, well, so I can just take whatever they say with a grain. No, I'm not. Who knows? You know what? Every time it's going to be a new adventure. So when you meet not badass men, they are just as emotionally immature as the teenagers that I met, is what I'm going to say. And so it's not me trying to be mean. It's me saying emotional, immature women, they're just as teenagerish as the men, FYI. That's why I see online all of the little groups. I'm the home king and queen. Let's go look at how avoidance and anxious keep on staying avoidant and anxious versus saying, hey, you know what? We're going to make it our mission to achieve our own secure attachment and differentiation of the self, because our body is wanting to move to our restorative embodiment. So your body wants you to be able and access this beautiful inner world of yours. Oh, and FYI, before we go out, remember, please, my lovely regular listeners, anybody who is new, I was informed by the somatic therapist that dysregulated and modulated embodied self individuals, they first need an environment that is safe enough for them to be able and then start working with their own inner world. And that's why, again, let's make the challenge. Any person can be a decent human being. Any person can move out of their dysfunctional nervous system by learning about how to heal trauma, not be an adaptive child. And also Reiki and anything within the mystic plane will not heal you from dating beneath yourself. You will be a person who is gonna be treated in certain ways if you have childhood trauma. And you know how many people come to me for tarot readings, Akashic record readings, my lovely listeners, Reiki sessions. They come to me for coffee cup readings. They come to me for healing. I'm a distance healer, past events. They come for all the energetic clearing. And I am a human being who knows that you can clear your energy sphere however way you want. It is in the day-to-day that you are going to look at that neighbor and look over there and look over here, and either you become a better radar picking up and you don't, is what I've noticed, okay? So you cannot heal, like Patrick Tihan says, your childhood trauma in the absence of being able to identify your dysfunctional pattern. And then, as others who are great educators say, how are you going to own the intention? How are you going to make sure that you want to move out of what is going to be an addictive behavior? And dating with people who are healthy self-worth, that would be in my book. If you consider yourself a smart man or woman, there you go. But you know how many, again, teenagers that are grown up people, they are in codependent type relationships. And as Patrick Tihan, again, he's childhood trauma survivor, healed and healing therapist, says there's a way that childhood trauma survivors and just people who are not yet their grown-up version, like the lady who's complaining about therapists or says that she doesn't need one and she's an avoidant, she isn't identifying that she's the one who put therapists on a pedestal, not the other way around. And that the reason journaling and, again, meditation is helpful is for the mind and you being able to get completely out of feeling defective. And no, we're not all fucked up. Another bullshit teenage statement. We're all the badass black sheep of the family with their fight mode on and their inner conflict and inner dialogue of, that's a bitch. That's it. So all people, mean girls and hangover, basically, until they move into their regulated nervous system, which is not boring at all. It's you securely attached. So you're always feeling love inside, gooey, gooey, gooey. And then you get to have fun with people in your relationships. You are so mesmerized all the time. Oh, and thanks to my lovely divine masculine friend, I definitely know I do value my time. And, you know, I don't like to spend it with stupid people. And stupid people involve intellectually and emotionally immature people, because I'm going to go read a book, learn from educators. I'll make better use of my time. And I can hang out with empowered men, the ones who actually empower me and help my brain to be better, because that's the whole point. I don't come here just for shits and giggles. No, I come to inspire human potential besides share stories. I'm not a three-year-old that's sharing because I need a floor. I actually believe in you because I believe in me and because I know that you can be yourself in a healthy, self-worth way. So when I see a man saying he's smart and then he's dating somebody who treats him like a piece of shit, I'm going to be like, yeah, sure, you're smart. Yep, I'm out. Bye, woman. I'm so sorry for you. It happened again. Oh my gosh. You know I don't matter because, you know, I can't fuck you. So I can't do anything with you that you want, your 0-1-year-old wants. But let me not bore you with the attachment and trauma information, because I know it's boring. You want, what do you want today? Which tarot reading? You want to know tomorrow? So what it is not funny. It's because these teenagers are just like I met teenagers and I was one too. I know everything about the world. So I grew up, I know I don't know everything about the world, even though I used the word in one of our recent videos. I was like, man, you used the wrong word. Well, it's okay. I am going to make mistakes. That's why I'm woo-woo pseudoscience lady, and I will fuck it up. I will. And it's okay, because I'm not trying to prove points. I don't come here to prove points, my lovely listeners. I share with you how easy it is to be yourself. And when I hear human suffering love narrative, people, I have compassion. What I also have is a full, in Italian, you have the expression balls. So when you're so like, oh my gosh, really? You know, like, can you make it any more dramatic? Can you make it any more dramatic? And then you have to hear them be dramatic. And then you know about people who are re-traumatizing themselves, staying in pseudo-aliveness. They're spiritual bypassers. They think they're smart. And you can only imagine, this is why Shiva's all over this one, because I've had my balls full of people that are this since I was a kid growing up, and apparently I'm the quote-unquote know-it-all. Well, not the know-it-all, but I do know a thing or two. What is funny, FYI, is all people will think this about themselves, which is why we all also know we don't know everything. But what I bring to you is that the badass, self-empowered, educated women, we don't walk around like we're better than anyone. No, because that would be unhealthy self-worth. But it doesn't matter how I walk around. My secure attachment, differentiated self-body will trigger every single one of the insecure, low self-esteem, whatever it is that you got going on in there. Now it's up to you. If you have an inner dialogue, great, gossip all you want. You want to project it? Oh, don't worry, I'll catch that projection and then I'll give it back to you. And if you want to be one of those teenagers who's going to try to make your point, oh, I'll be able to handle you as well as any teenager because I love talking. Just ask my younger sister. She knows. Lock me up in a room with a bunch of teenagers. I'll come out still talking. They will be done. They will be like, oh my gosh, please, please let us out. Let us out. Because I can keep going and going like the Energizer battery. And that's what a badass woman knows, is a man won't be able to keep up unless his inner child is there. And that means, though, it's a grown up. And that's why I love my badass men friends and my badass women friends, because we get to be a whole piece of Purusha Prakriti. So it's a whole piece of pure consciousness. It's unconditional love, pure energy. That's your whole three-year-old heart. So being yourself. Straightforward as it gets, let's be kind, compassionate, and we'll be back with more of these episodes as well as others. Thank you for tuning in. Have a great day.